You'll notice I'm wearing red today. It's to celebrate Pentecost Sunday, and it's the color of the day. Let me tell you, since I'm talking about church calendars and church dates, let me tell you about the church calendar for a minute. You might know this, you might not. Since the last Sunday in November, we've gone through several church seasons. Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, and we just finished Easter. Today, we start the long season of Pentecost, which is about 6 months in duration, where we experience stories about Jesus, miracles, parables, and teachings. It's a season of hard work, and if we allow it to be, it can be a season of personal and church growth. Today marks the beginning of this season. It's known as the church's birthday. In the last several weeks, we've heard Jesus promise his disciples that after he leaves, he will send the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us. Before we go any further, there are copies of my sermon at the back with no names on them. Please feel free to take them. Otherwise, if you're doing pastoral care and you think the person you're visiting would appreciate hearing it, then please grab it on your way to visiting someone who is in need of a visit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is splashy. And we heard that in the reading that Ewan read, and Ewan, you had some tongue twisters in there and you did really well. At other times, the Holy Spirit is quiet and almost goes unseen. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit arrives in spectacular fashion, with the followers of Jesus speaking in such a way that Jews from all over the known world could understand them in their own language. If this were to happen today, whatever language would be spoken would be understood by someone who spoke only French or English, Afrikaans or Arabic. In their native tongue, they would hear the words that are being uttered. It's quite the miracle. It's quite the feat. The Holy Spirit can be scary because she brings change. How many Anglicans does it take to change a light bulb? Change? My great-great-grandmother donated that light bulb. Don't you dare change it, even though it hasn't worked since 1942. Well, not all Anglican churches, but a good portion of them. Some of the change that the Holy Spirit brings is that communities are invited to no longer be exclusionary or elitist. The most prominent are not necessarily the most important. We are called by the Spirit to be egalitarian and inclusive. Not always an easy thing to do, but that's what we're called to. One of the things that drew me to Anglicanism, some of you may know I've journeyed through various Christian denominations. As an expression of Christianity, Anglicans are encouraged to be united, not through uniformity, but through diversity. Anglicans aren't perfect, but they get that right. Each one of us is unique. Each one of us plays an important role in the life of the church. If you don't believe me, let me give you some examples. At this time of year, I invite you to look at nature and look at the diversity that exists. We had different plants being sold yesterday, and we've got a variety of insects now coming up and feeding off those plants, don't we? And the more we learn about nature is that the biodiversity works together in unity, each playing an important role. I would argue that God enjoys diversity. Yesterday was the yard sale, which was successful because each volunteer played a different role, from sorting and pricing to setting up and tearing down. It was a lot of work, but it worked because everyone played their part. Another example of unity through diversity is the human body. Each body part plays an important role, some less glamorous than others, but so very important. How often do you think of your intestines? You certainly do when they're upset, don't you? Last example. Several years ago now, during the season of Advent, I was given some tickets to go see some musical piece at the National Arts Center in Ottawa. It was part of the Pops series, I think. Now, this at the time was not something that I could normally afford to attend, but it was an early Christmas from someone who had been generous in my life. A gift. It made for a special night out. I didn't know how special until I got to my seat. Here I was, within the first five rows, smack in the center of the audience. I never had such great seats. It was amazing. I was back far enough to get the benefit of the sound filling the room and close enough for my eyes to take in the concert. Now, normally it's not hard to tell when a drum starts and stops, or when a trumpet plays a part, our ears can pick that up easily. At least my untrained ears can. But I was close enough that I got to see the subtleties of violins starting and stopping. I heard the difference when three violins stopped playing and five continued. I can tell when the oboe joined in and when the bass stopped. I was that close. I could see and hear those distinctions. Each instrument had a role to play in order to produce music. Each instrument worked in harmony with the conductor who was orchestrating the whole show to produce this amazing experience of sound. Now, I'm sure at least one of you is here today is thinking, oh, Carrot, Eric, I got it. You went to a really nice concert. I'm happy for you. But so what? What was so amazing, and this is the answer to the so what, what was so amazing about this experience is that while I was in the middle of it, it dawned on me that we, the church, are like the orchestra. Each and every one of us has a part to play, a gift to offer those who are part of our lives, and a gift to use for the glory of God, a gift that comes through our uniqueness, even though we might not be happy about it. Each and every one of us has been given certain gifts by God, spiritual and otherwise, that makes us who we are. And when we uncover them and live into them, we live as God created us to be, and we are a blessing to those who are part of our lives. Sometimes our uniqueness can be a source of pain, like my friend Sammy the Snake, not very liked by many, and yet God created her. I am sure that you've noticed that I can be vertically challenged at the best of days. If you've not noticed, I invite you to take a close look. In my life, this uniqueness brought limitations and pain and rejection inflicted by others at times. But when I allowed God's healing hand to work in me, I noticed that God replaced the pain, mostly, with certain gifts that came because of this uniqueness. We might not like it, but God works everything to the good, if we let it. The role that comes as a result of our uniqueness, and each of you have it, might not be the one you wanted or hoped for, but God will use it to the good, if we allow it. I'm certain that many of you have suffered as well because of your uniqueness. The things that made or make you different were not appreciated by others. But if it hasn't happened already, it can be a source of blessing to you and others in your life if we allow God's healing hand to touch us. So this week, oh good, he's almost done. So this week, I invite you to one or more of the following. I invite you to celebrate your uniqueness and explore the gifts that God has given you through what makes you unique. For example, are you more patient or compassionate as a result of what makes you unique? I also invite you to allow God's healing touch the pain you experienced as a result of your differences, and let God's healing hands be upon you. Lastly, I invite you to come to the choir fest this afternoon. Can I call it choir fest? I don't know if that's the official name, but it sounds good to me. My hope is that it can be an amazing experience for you as you listen to the voices, the piano and the organ, working together with the uniqueness of each, working in harmony, making the sum greater than each of the parts. I look forward to seeing you there.